which didn't have anything on it. Put webbing on the bottom of it. And springs, set them up, fastened them in, and tied them. You know what I mean? They tie them down, and all that was done by hand at that time.
No.
And there was a foreman, and in the cutting room, there was five or six. I'd say in the whole department, including a couple of men that just crated them, maybe 30.
So when they cut out the upholstery part in the late 40s, it didn't cut down the number of workers dramatically.
Not dramatically. Anyway, they were, I don't know any of them, but one man had a heart attack, and he stayed on and made slip seats. Now, slip seats is, well, that's a slip seat over in that rocker. Mm-hmm. That's something I'd put in there myself. It came with the back, but I like that chair better than... You get used to a chair and it kind of fits you.
Yep.
And they bought me, my kids bought me a oak rocker, which is nicer, more dressive rocker, but it don't have a comfort set. Chair is, and so I put it in yonder and used that one. But anyway, this was for dining room chairs. It just fastened in. Now, this is a pullover, they call it. This seat is actually made on a frame, and then it's installed in there. But they do have them. It comes down over the whole frame. Mm-hmm. That's a pullover. And he stayed on and done that for the dining, just strictly for dining.
I see. Now, what was going on in the Hillsborough plant?
The Hillsborough plant closed down for some reason. I never did. They made, I don't know what kind of case goods they made, but they made... a cheaper line of upholstery furniture.
And did you think about going over there when you lost your job? No. There weren't any openings, or you just didn't want to do it anymore?
Well, I'm not even sure they were still operating.
Oh, I see.
I think they probably closed that out before. They didn't close the whole plant out,
no.
But... I knew a guy that was later on, one of the postmasters in Mabin, was an upholsterer at Hillsborough. Hmm. But by having a cheap line of furniture, they didn't make quite as much money as the upholsters in Mabin did. I
don't
know.
And how did your father?
I'm sorry, I meant to give you one thing.
And how did your father feel about you going to work down there? He said originally he wanted you to do.
Well, I told him that they had told me that. Now, this, mind you, was not just a while before we got into the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
I told him that they told me if I learned the job good, I could make $25 a week. You'll never see the day you'll make $25 a week if white. That's what he said. And, of course, before I left, I was on piece work and was making well over 100. And, of course, things like, I mean, at piece work, not well over, but some over 100. If I worked, you know, the whole week. But we would work, when I went to White, they were working 55 hours a week. No, they're working 45. Seemed like 9 hours a day, and they don't say it'd be 50, wouldn't it? I know they're working overtime. But I think I made by the hour, started off at about $18 for that length of time, and that would include some overtime. But later on, when they cut back a little bit on the hours. The upholstery department chose to work 9 hours, 4 days, and 4 hours on Friday. So we got paid about 11 o'clock Friday and was off the rest of the week. And it felt pretty good. You know, it was better than I had been doing up till that. Everything is relative if you get down to it.
Indeed.
I don't even try to figure out a relativity of a dollar then and a dollar now. Actually got to where it was worth 10 times. I mean, actually got to where a dollar was worth 10 times as much in as it is now. I quit figuring that. I didn't want to know. But,
Well, I don't know as I have any more questions about whites. Are there any other stories specifically about whites or the town?
Not that I know of any incidences. You know, this was the one in my life that I knew of, and that's the only way I could tell you, because it's just things that I was involved in or had a first-hand knowledge of. I'm sure there's a lot of instances along, but...
Well, you're the first to give us a solid understanding of the Union down there. So that's invaluable.
One of the links that I don't know where it's even tellable or not, but this was when this Mr. Gaines I was telling you about was plant manager. He would go through the plant, but there was a boy come in, a country boy had come in, and he was come on in the factory, and he'd come to ask for a job, but said he was standing looking around at things, and Mr. Gaines come through the plant and come by and said, he watched him a while, said, "What's your name?" And said, "Simmons," and said, "Well, Mr. Simmons, you're fired." He hadn't worked. I think it is a true story because I knew the boy and I knew the one that told it, and I think it was true, but that was kind of he thought he was loafing on the job and, you know, just one run.
Right.
They expect you to give a day's work,
yeah,
but I think the people who worked there expected it. Cotton mills and hose mills, and I expect from what I've seen in furniture factories, people don't go down at it just every minute like they used to.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of time in between tasks, or?
Well, you have a little, what you might say, rest. And if you're on a service job, like moving something in the cotton mill, putting up a roving, and that's in the spinning room where you have little ropes of cotton that's cut down to that size, and the spinning frame twisted into thread. I mean, it, you know, spins it out and makes it a certain size. But they have people that do that. But the people that run the machines then really had to work, but it wasn't quite as hard. Of course, the pay was, you know, wasn't as much for the job that didn't work as hard as it was for the others. So.
Right.
I reckon a little difference then. And back in at that time, you didn't get a raise every year. That's something that is very definitely post-war. I mean, of course, inflation is going on all
right.
the time, too, so you have to get them.
But before those cost of living raises and before the union, was management alone set? The wages, was there any way to put any kind of pressure on them?
Well, you didn't have down there, for instance. But when my father was, when I was in high school, I mean the year I was a senior, he made 40 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's $16 a week. And, which wasn't the best, but a lot of people were working for 12.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was a lot that was making 20 and 25 on a high skill job. The first industry in Alamance County that came in that paid better was full fashion knitting. Of course, later it, you know, it came and had its niche, and then it went on. They improved on ways of making it, where you could make it with less skill and more machinery and less skill. But I wouldn't. I think whites had a very definite influence on the town and the people. You know, that is furnishing employment. I'm not. I never did think that they was the worst place in the world to work, but my father didn't either, as far as that's concerned, and he took pride in what they made and things like that, which most of the people that worked there did. But I think that's the thing that's gone. At least management don't. Now I feel like this way. I believed in the unions and their rights. I mean, I believe they should have had a. If the union and management could have really got together, and management would have listened to the labor, they could have put out a better product. They'd done better. They had more pride in it. They would have. Could have made more. I mean, in other words, they could have paid them a little better if it worked together.
Mm-hmm.
But working for somebody that you felt like was your enemy, and having somebody work for you that you felt like was your enemy, that don't. You know, that's the way the politicians keep the country divided now. Right. And they step in and make a decision. And back then, I thought I was liberal. I'm just talking now, not necessarily for this. I thought I was a liberal thinker, and now I'm so much conservative. And but things have happened in this country since I grew up that was never dreamed of years ago. I
mean,
and it's all nibbling at our freedoms, and I don't know what. A lot of people realize that or not, but I certainly think so.
What sorts of freedoms are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about all kinds of freedoms in making decisions. Things that bug me, which is this little thing, seat belts bug me. Because I'm not convinced that on the average they would save a lot of lives. They might. They could just as easily cause you to be held in an automobile and killed. But I think we know that there might be a safety factor, and if we want to wear them, well and good. I don't even object to them having put them in an automobile. But I do object to them making you wear it. And you know, I objected to Hillary's health program. I don't think you ought to be told who your doctor can be and all of these things. And so, in other words, they just creep little by little. There's a law that you can't do this, a law you can't do that. And like the case in Alamance County now, the schools consolidating. It didn't make a whole lot of difference to me whether they consolidate them or not, really. But the way they're going about this pushing now, they won't allow two of the commissioners are firmly against allowing any vote. They want to push it through whether the people want it or not. And I think we ought to get the vote. We might make some bad decisions or the wrong decisions, but we still ought to get to have a say in it.
Right.
Well, mainly I don't believe in.